them out. She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool.
Jeff in the 920 on the Carpool Talking text line. After last night, I respect Giannis even more. The way he handled the Pacers, the way they talked trash, the whole series, the way he handled it all, it has my respect. If he asks for a trade, I will love him and cheer for him unless he goes to the Pacers. I will hate them until I die. I can't imagine that if the Bucks were actually to trade Giannis, I can't imagine they would do so to the Pacers. Just saying that, I'm willing to bet that it would be a Western Conference team that Giannis would end up with if they decided to do that. Again, I still have my doubts about that. Again, not saying it's impossible because Luka Doncic was traded and he never even asked for a trade earlier this year. Anything is literally possible at all times in the NBA. But it seems like we're trending that way over in the NFL as well, Chu, with the Green Bay Packers. Because, well, they've been trying to trade him ever since the offseason started. All right, gonna have to trade him if they trade him before the draft. Doesn't happen. All right, probably just gonna have to release him. Well, apparently, that is not where we're at. Rob Domofsky with a report yesterday saying that there is still a potential where the Packers and Jaire Alexander work this out, and Jaire is a member of the Green and Gold. Here's what Demo, our buddy Rob, had to say yesterday on KBN on how we got here with Jaire.
The market then for Jaire, you know, probably dried up a little bit because teams filled their holes in the draft. And the two sides were kind of left looking at each other going, okay, what now? Now, I did report a month or so ago that at that point the Packers had not offered Jaire a restructured contract, and if they had, he wouldn't have taken it. Well, clearly they're talking about something right now, so you would assume that that has to mean that he's at least considering, you know, looking at a restructured deal.
I think it is worth noting that throughout this saga, it seems like it's been more of a Green Bay boss, whether it's the front office, whether it's the coaching staff versus Jaire, then players who want Jaire gone, because he posted on his social media, he was working out with Xavier McKinney. When Jordan Love jumped on with Kay Adams on her show, he said that, you know, he supports and thinks that they need a guy like Jaire Alexander. Have you ever dealt with something like this in the locker room, Chu, where it looked like somebody was going to be gone, but then maybe they come back? Like, how would he be welcomed back in the locker room should the Packers actually come to some sort of agreement with Jaire Alexander?
You welcome him back. If he plays, I think he's the difference of you going to, not saying winning, but going to an NFC Championship game and not. You never want to get rid of good players. And you certainly don't want to get rid of great players. He's kind of in between the two. But let me ask you, where do you think Rob's getting his information from? Because I think he's getting it from Jaire. I don't think he's getting it from the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, it could be from Jaire's agent. I'm not sure. But again, and after talking with, again, Adam, yeah, I guess, I mean, you have to throw trade in there as a potential, but I just don't see it.
Oh, like, the trade's not happening now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That ship has sailed.
It's just
he's got to look at it, Gabe, as like, okay, if I get cut, what's the best deal I'm going to get?
Yes.
No one's going to pay me a lot, and it's going to be incentive-based because no one trusts you. And you said you won't play unless you're 100%, which organizations do not like. So he's probably come in, his agent, probably talking some sense into him, like, dude, this is the best you're going to get.
Well, I think that the best way to do it, I think of the way the Packers have done this before, and I think mostly this has been under Ted Thompson, but obviously Goody was a part of those front offices as scout and things like that as he worked his way up to become the general manager. But typically, like when Mason Crosby had his rough year in 2012, and 2013 they restructured his contract. Hey, if you have a good season, you can make that. You can make exactly what you're going to make, right? It all becomes incentive laden. For him, it was making kicks. For somebody like when they redid AJ Hawk's contract, all right, if you're healthy, if you hit these marks, you can do it. And I'm guessing that's what it's going to be for Jaire as well. It's going to be per game bonuses that he is going to get, not necessarily interceptions or tackles. I see it more as a per game bonus, as he's going to get paid more the more he plays.
Well, they did that with me. I mean, when I sat out 99 with my neck, because they were more aggressive, which for whatever reason they aren't anymore, and they cut my salary, but with incentives, and if I reach Pro Bowl, certain all pro, I would actually make more than I would have. And I think that's what they're going to do with Jair. They'll say, all right, here you go. Here's a $9 million base, right? Mm-hmm. If you play all 17 games, you get your full 17, and then Pro Bowl, all pro, you get another $500,000. So they'll sweeten the pot. Let me tell you what, this is a good thing. It's a good thing because he's still a really good player.
When he plays.
You know? When he plays. But he's got to play. And the big thing is going to be, what's that base number going to be? Is it going to be 10?
I would say around 10.
Is it going to be 8?
9 to 10. Yeah, somewhere in that 9-10 range, it seems like. And
maybe
then
12 on the high end.
Yeah, and then it's a $500,000 per game bonus.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, we saw it with Jordan Love. If they tier it.
Yeah.
Here's your amount for playing 6 games. Here's your amount for playing 12 games. Here's your amount for playing
all. Yeah, that's
all.
How they're going to do it.
Like,
sure.
It's going to be like escalators. And then
instead
there's going to be,
here's $400,000 for every game you play,
right,
type of deal.
Right. It's going to be like, here's the expectations. And I wouldn't be surprised, because there are like multiple years on this deal, if like he does end up with maybe even, I don't want to say more guaranteed money, but more cash, like Chewy was saying, that are potential.
Yeah.
Because they do still have money on that back end they would try and secure and base it on, like, you know, restructure the contract, give him possibly two. Because if it goes well, they'll want him back. He's that good.
Josh, he has incentive to play well.
He wants to go get another big contract again. Right.
And then you revert back to a turd, and then you don't touch him. You do not sign another contract with him.
Yeah.
No.
There's been an overwhelming sense that so many of us want Jair gone, and that's just not the case.
I have maintained from day one.
Yeah.
I thought it made the most sense to keep him because the $5 million savings doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. I thought there was a potential that Jair might be better served going somewhere else and just sort of getting out of all of that.
A fresh start.
Right. Because we see that happen a lot with players who, you know, they get new faces around them, new teammates, new coaches, new front office, and they revert back to what you know they can be.
I can tell you this, guys, and we have a name for it. The organizations hate when you, quote, steal from them.
Yes.
And what I mean by that, like what Bakhtiari did, players referred to that as stealing. And they use it in the locker room. I don't know if they do anymore, but we'd walk by and, you know, if you were on IR or whatever, like, you're stealing. They don't like that. They hate it.
At what point is it not stealing? Like when Edgar tore his Achilles.
That's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know.
I mean,
what Jair was doing with his, that didn't require a surgery or something.
10
like
snaps
that.
And then like, I'm done for the game.
Because again,
that's what drives organizations nuts.
I feel like Bakhtiari gets lumped into this thing. Like, he's pulling a Bakhtiari. That's not what this is. Like, Bakhtiari, still out of the league, literally cannot play football anymore.
I think the Bakhtiari thing was on Matt LaFleur and the Packers.
Yeah.
From what we ended up finding out from him once he told us, I mean, he did it in his Bakhtiari way, which you can like or dislike, but he had to have multiple surgeries. There were things going on that were making him unable. Once he had to compete and play it, because they put him on the Chad Clifton plan or the whoever, where it's like you're basically not practicing.
You're playing on Sundays.
Yeah.
Figure out a way to stay in shape.
And even that didn't work.
But the only reason they did that is because he was between good and great.
Yes.
If this were Sean Ryan, they'd be like, see ya.
Deuces.
I'd say he was great when he was playing. He was one of the best left tackles in all the league.
And he was great against the Bears.
Yeah, the one game he played.
His last game he played.
He was fantastic. And then just couldn't get
that
need to be stable.
I'm in the camp. If you can work this thing up, bring him back.
Yes.
You know, because the fact that he's a turd, his ability kind of outweighs his turdiness. He's still going to be a turd. Don't get me wrong. And I played with guys like that, Gabe, that, like, all right, he contributes, but the guy's a turd. That's fine. We'll overlook the turd.
Demo also gave a timeline, because we always know the famous Andrew Brandt saying, deadline spur action. So what is the timeline now? Because we thought, okay, the draft would be the timeline for if they trade him. If he's not traded by the draft, then they're just going to release him. Is there a timeline now for this? Here's what Demo had to say.
I thought it was going to be resolved long before this. I really did. I thought when, you know, the early stages of free agency, something might happen. But at this point, you know, I don't know what to expect, but I do get the feeling that the fact that both sides have been, you know, are willing to talk and be at the negotiating table, or, you know, however they're discussing things right now, does make me feel like that they could be headed toward a resolution. I've been down that road before, and it has not. So I do think it's a good sign that they are in communication, and this isn't just standoff at this point.
I can tell you this, Gabe, other teams will be laughing at him.
If what?
If they do this. If they re-sign him. They'll be laughing at
would
him.
Would they? Like, if they yeah. if they restructure his contract?
Otherwise,
and keep him?
Someone would have done it. Someone would have done it.
But teams are interested in Jair, just not at his like current, because he's played in the NFL long enough.
The second he's on your opening day roster,
the money becomes guaranteed.
Which the agent will play now, because he'll go to Tennessee Titans and say, this is what the Packers are going to give him in a restructure. Will you give him more? So it's not a done deal, because mm-hmm. they will still shop him, you know.
Well, yeah, his agent will shop, and hey, if the Packers release him, how much would you be willing to give?
Yes.
Type of deal.
Correct. So, I mean, it's not a done deal, because wasn't Rob a hard no like a month ago? Wasn't he the one that first reported the hard no? He's gone.
It might have been Jason. I mean, you heard him kind of talk. Hey, based on what I thought.
Last
before.
I heard Rob talk, he said there's a 99.5% chance he's not on the
roster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not just from the Packers' end. That was also from Jair's
that
end.
That was everybody's end.
Right, because the three people we probably trust the most when it comes to the Packers, Spoon, Jason, Rob, when they're all saying the same thing, there's a reason. They're not making yeah. that up. That's not a mistake.
No, that's coming from everywhere.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you this, as a player, the longer you play for an organization, the less you want to leave. Right, so if you're only going to play like two or three more years, you're like, man, I got to pack everything up. I got to do this. I got to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if I can get a fair deal here, I don't have to learn anything new.
Yeah.
I already know everything I need to know.
Yeah. So, I don't know. What would you give it, a 50-50?
I think it's less than that.
Really? We'll ask Jason tomorrow.
Yeah, we can ask Jason.
I still think him ending up cut is the most likely situation.
I would agree.
But I do think there is a potential here if, I mean, both sides sort of swallow their end and just go, it's better for you, it's better for us. Jair Alexander makes the Packers a better team. That's a simple matter of fact.
But they
it's
don't
just how much
him.
Do they trust him
yeah.
to be on
well,
the field.
Well, and you're sunk with some of this cost no matter what. Like, his dead cap is still, like, $16, $17 million. Like, you're stuck with some of the cost no matter what.
Yeah.
So if you can work something out, hopefully you can work something out. The Packers did make an official signing. We still have some draft recap we want to get to. More of that coming up next, but I need to tell you about my friends at Mentality, because it doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. I was dealing with low testosterone, but not anymore. In fact, I'm going out to Mentality today. I've got a follow-up appointment because they're always checking in to make sure that your testosterone levels are where they should be. Are you tired, groggy, don't have that energy to attack your day like you once used to? Those all could be signs of low testosterone. And with Mentality, it's easy to figure out. You'll go through the process that I'm going through today. Go out there, you get a blood panel done. Within a week, your results are back to you. And boom, if your testosterone levels are low, they will come up with a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. It's what they've done for me, and it has worked beautifully for me. I could not imagine if I didn't have this, because of the energy that I have to be able to not even just get through the day, but attack the day and feel like I used to. So go to lowtusa.com. That's Mentality's website. They allow treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments, lowtusa.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How much will Angie let you grow a beard?
I would say for 3 months I have to keep a beard if I lose.
Okay, and Angie would allow you to have a beard for 3 months?
She doesn't run my life. Drop that.
Yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Chew, you got any more leftover takeaways from the Packers draft? Like, how do we feel about the Packers and what now 2025 is going to bring? I understand it's tough because, you know, we got to see these guys, and honestly, we've got to see him play in a couple regular season games because we've seen dudes be all Oneida, and then that doesn't translate to the field. For those who don't know, the all Oneida team is something that Chewy, did you come up with it, or is it just...
No, that was kind of...
Just like players from your era. There. Oh, that was there before you were there even.
Oh, yeah, because it's always minicamp guys that the media fall in love with, and then as soon as you put pads on them, which is something they used to do and they don't do it anymore, so it takes a little longer to figure out if guys are stiffs. They disappear. Because there's a little difference, Gabe, between just helmets and helmets and pads, a la the defensive line last year, because they dominated when it was just helmets.
You know what? I think I'm... You guys hold me to this, but I think I want to work with Jason and put together an all-time All-Oneida team. Or at least, like, from your era and on. Like, of the last 30 years.
Ooh, that'd be tough because no one's going to know the names.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it would be funny to look, because the one that stands out to me, Chew, and you probably don't remember this name, but I fell in love with him. He was a second-round pick. I thought he was going to be awesome. And every mini camp, every training camp that he was in Green Bay, like, the coaches could not sing his praises more. And he could not disappear faster once the actual game started in Quentin Rollins.
I remember the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a defensive back, and I was so excited for him. He was like the MAC Defensive Player of the Year. Played 1 year. Like, played basketball for 4 years and then just played football his senior year just because.
Terrible.
And he was a great one Defensive Player of the Year playing 1 year, and then he just couldn't.
He was an athlete who didn't know how to play football.
Exactly, and that's what I thought. Like, okay, like, I understand it's Defensive Player of the Year in the MAC, but obviously this guy's got some athletic instincts. Clearly the Packers are going to bring it out of him, and they never did.
Am I the only one making a pact with myself going into this year's football season? I'm the only one. Temper the gush. You guys haven't signed up yet. Can we temper the gush?
Okay, I'll tell you this. I will temper the gush at specific positions. Like, I'm not going to buy into the gush this year on the defensive line. I refuse to do it because we did it last year.
I might get excited about Baron Sorrell if he's impressive, or Oliver.
Somebody who's new. Yes. Like, I'm not going to buy into any Rashawn Gary, Lucas Van Ness, Kingsley Anabare. I'm not buying into any of that.
I've been so beaten down by those edge defenders. I'm not buying in until each of them has 6 sacks in the course, like, halfway through the season.
I was about to say, like, if they have 6 sacks in week 16, not buying in yet.
I'm saying, like, week 8, then I'll be like, hey, we got some going here.
Well, because how many times have we seen with Rashawn? I mean, Rashawn, coming off the ACL, had 9 sacks at Thanksgiving and then nothing the rest of the way.
Have you guys heard anything, and I'm not talking about the players, I'm talking about the whole draft experience. Did you hear anything that was negative? I haven't seen anything negative.
No. So even like the buddy that I had that went up, like him and an old high school friend of his, and I got to see him very briefly, when I got to talk to them, like, they weren't even that disappointed that they didn't get into the main draft area on Thursday night. They had to go to the overflow, which was the bowl of Lambeau Field, which, again, is not a bad backup. Like, they seemed like they were having a great time. And then they were kicking. Was that actually on the field at Lambeau? I guess I never got a clarification. Like, people were kicking 30-yard field goals?
Yes. So it was on the field, but they had placed down, like, mats.
Well, I assume that they weren't just...
I was going to say, did Halliburton's dad wander out onto the field without permission or something?
It was a designed thing. So, you were allowed on the field, but you weren't touching the grass.
But there was no, like, hey, this station ran out of beer, and there was no beer, or, you know, the bathrooms.
I mean, there were long lines for porta-potties, but I think everybody's like, there's 200,000 people here. Yeah, there's going to be long lines for the bathroom.
The only negative I really heard is the business owners in the area is sort of, and not getting the influx of business that they had suspected. But other than that, from, like, a fan experience, I've heard nothing but positive. Like, a lot of people said, I'm really glad I went. It was worth it. Parking was easy. Traffic was easy. Like, everything surrounding it that was I worried about. Because I don't know if you remember, there was conversation about the infrastructure wouldn't be able to withhold that many people. Well, they were worried about the bridges collapsing.
Well, that was hyperbolic.
Yes.
But that was
a legitimate conversation that people were having at one point.
I mean,
I thought traffic was going to be the big deal.
But I kind of nailed it.
I nailed it. I'm sorry. I want credit. Hit it.
Jeez.
I don't even know what I'm going to give you credit for.
I nailed it. Because I said the majority of the people here will not be out-of-towners. They'll be local Wisconsin fans that'll drive in for the day and then disperse. You're welcome. I told you.
And even then, I think a lot of people just took, like, shuttles and buses and took advantage of that. And the one regret I guess I have is not even necessarily going into the draft area, because we had a lot of stuff going on at the Tundra Trio, and I didn't get an opportunity to walk in and wander around what they had actually in the area. I wish I would have wandered down Oneida.
Yeah.
Like, closer to the start of the draft. Because when I came in, and I left around midnight both nights I was up there, so there was no traffic after I left. But coming in, like, in the middle of the day on Thursday, on the bus that we were at, there was no traffic. The only traffic we ran into was leaving Milwaukee, because around Capitol Drive on 43, it goes from three lanes down to two. Like, there was no traffic, Chew. And that was the shocking thing to me.
On Thursday at noon, now it is early, and it definitely did get more busy, but I was able to drive directly up to our houses that butt up. And the only thing we had to slow down for were the people who were enjoying beverages and kind of just wandering in the streets, which is fine. You just give a little beep beep, hey, we're coming through here, and you keep moving.
So do you think they'll treat this like the Super Bowl, and you won't have to wait for all 32 teams to get their opportunity to have a draft, where it'll be like, hey, you know what? Let's have the Super Bowl in New Orleans every eighth year. You think this comes back here?
I think Super Bowl's
within
different.
10 years?
Because
they nailed it. All reports are
Yes, but I think the thing that would actually prevent them from coming back, Chew, is the thing that you said, that you just mentioned, and that you nailed. I don't know how much fans would show up for another one here in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Like, it was being sold as, hey, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Like, it's probably never coming back. So I think that drove a lot of people to go, what the hell, I'll go check it out.
The good thing is, though, say it's 20 years from now, whatever, they bring it back. I think enough people had positive experiences that they would go, I had fun. It's something to do with my friends, kids, etc.
Like, I think if they do it in 20 years, yes. If they do it in 10, like, you have to have enough space between where there's now a new generation of fans that also want to come check out.
Yeah, what was the age demographic essentially? Mm-hmm. What was the majority? 30 to 45?
There was a lot of college age kids as well.
Yeah.
That I saw.
So 10 years from now, these kids don't even know who.
Yeah, it's skewed younger than like a typical Packers game day.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, there was still, I mean, people Chewy's age were still also well represented. Like, the 40s, 50s were plenty there. It was the thing that happened, though, was the kids who were there were loud and let you know they were there, yelling at us from the little area we had. That's why I feel like we thought they might have been overrepresented. Because just the amount of people that were like, what was the, during the Matt LaFleur Q&A?
Oh, yeah.
There was the kids that were just Vikings fans. They had the horn, and they were screaming.
Burner.
Yeah. And that's, and those were all like 20s. Those kids were all in their 20s.
Okay. Yeah, you could do it again in 10 years. Be a whole new crop of Packers fans.
Yeah, I think if you do it in 20 years, yes, Chew. I don't think you could do it in 10 years and expect the success that it was this year.
If we want to go back to the actual takeaways, I'm super interested to figure out how Matt LaFleur decides to use the wide receivers now that there's more of them, and one of them isn't the traditional, and Savion Williams, the traditional wide receiver. Like, how do you balance getting him the ball in ways that are advantageous to him with Jayne Reed, who also is successful in that same realm? Also, the excuses are running out for Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Your offensive line has had major investments the past two
seasons. Your offensive line just got a big boost
with a
free agent this year, an early draft pick each of the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And some pretty good players in Elgton Jenkins and Zach Tom.
Correct.
Your tight ends, everybody's talking about how, got to get Tucker Kraft more involved, And then you have a top five running back, maybe a top three running back, depending upon injuries or whatever to Josh Jacobs, because obviously somebody like Christian McCaffrey's on that list, but top five at worst. And now you have a heavy investment in the wide receiver position.
And then the last thing is, what is Jeff Hafley going to be able to do with the defense before he becomes a head coach somewhere? Because it felt like the Packers put a lot of trust into him and kind of gave him some unique weapons that maybe they didn't have and that they're making investments on. How is he going to make that defensive backfield work? And how is he going to get pressure on the quarterback and not have to do the simulated pressures or the, you know, it looks like you're bringing six, but you bring four, but they lose track of someone. Like, how are they going to be able to do that?
So I am not going to buy into the gush for the defensive line. Really, any established defensive player that's there, I am not going to buy into the gush. But we can buy into the gush for Matthew Golden, right?
Yeah.
From who?
I mean,
I'm not listening to Jair if he's back.
Well, no, I'm not going to say, if Jair is saying Golden needs to be quadruple covered, no.
Yeah.
But no. I'm going to say if Rob and Jason, who are at these practices, join our show during training camp and say, man, Matthew Golden looks really good, I'm allowed to get excited about that, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You won't get honest if we get excited about
that? I didn't like their
that?
Comp. I wasn't huge on their comp.
Who's the comp?
Greg Jennings.
Yeah, well, because he's that's his body type.
That's also a local comp.
Yeah.
He's been comped to Chris Olave.
No, I would feel much better if it was Devontae. I want Devontae.
Well, thanks. I'd like Jerry Rice out there, too. Cripes.
Well, you wouldn't.
Randy Moss? Yeah,
have
that'd
you
be awesome.
Have always been a smartass?
Yes.
Because, yeah, it kind of feels like, Gabe, when he was going to start with the age thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was going to light me up, but he didn't.
So I've got a screen where I can see Chewy. And when Josh said, oh, people of Chewy's age, I'm like, oh, boy, here we go again. Chewy's age for the second time on the show. I'm, like, looking down at the screen like, oh, how's Chewy going to take this?
No, it was just to describe a generation of person.
I hate your hat, too. Your hat looks stupid, Josh. The brim is just terrible. Okay? I'm just and I think most people would agree, Gabe.
I get a lot of compliments on this hat.
You shouldn't.
I think his hat is fine.
No, it's not. The brim is terrible.
But that's
and then it's too flat on top.
Well, that's the corduroy
hat.
That's the kid style of hat.
He looks like Smalls from Sandlot with the first hat.
With the brim that comes out to like.
Is Dashin putting on weight? I'm just saying. I haven't seen him in a while.
Jeez. Are you just lashing out because
this
we
is a major
about,
lash
because
out.
We talked about your age earlier?
Yeah.
Ashton Rotman, executive producer here at ESPN Milwaukee, literally just walking in to drop something off in the producer booth, taking strays from Chewy. Ashy, what's going on, buddy?
Well, I was doing just fine until that outburst from the big giant baby in Florida who refuses to be here because it's cold and oh, I'm so cold.
Well, if they say the camera adds 15 or 20 pounds, so.
Does it lose 20 to 25 IQ points? Is that your issue?
No.
That's fair, though.
He misses me. He misses me.
This is, Ashton.
You want me back.
Ashton, this is all a lash out because he didn't like the comp of Matthew Golden to Greg Jennings. He would prefer he was Davante Adams, and I said, no, duh. And now he's lashing out.
It's a good point by Josh, though. No, duh. All right, got it. Hey, you know what? I wish he was Jerry Rice. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah,
jeez. Be sick.
So now my hat's dumb, and you're putting on weight.
I'm not though. I'm doing. I know we're wedding weight. We're
no,
doing.
I think
I'm
it's
doing
just
good.
The camera. It's the camera.
It's the camera.
It's the camera for Ashton.
It's the camera. Now it's for the Josh wedding. I'm losing weight. Actually, I mean not to brag, but I just ran a 5K last week. Like, jeez.
Wow. Congratulations.
Five. Yeah, I'm not.
You ran three miles.
I did too. Darn right. 3.1. I did too. Of course I did. I got a medal and everything to prove it.
That's what that means.
What?
What means what?
3.1?
Well,
what's the 3.1?
So 13. So a 5K is 3.1 miles.
Oh.
And the 13.1 stickers you see mean
half marathons. Yeah.
So what like is that? Meters?
Oh my
is that
god.
Meters?
Buddy.
Just asking.
Miles. 5 kilometers and then regular miles.
Why don't they just put 5?
I actually agree with that.
Why do you gotta put be so cute?
Not
everything has.
Oh, wow.
Oh, what a real shame.
Big,
we just lost
running.
This.
Big running is just cutting out Chewy's internet.
Man, guys are the best, like, 10 seconds of the show so far.
I don't know.
I hope you can still. Hey, give me a thumbs up if you can still hear me, Chew. Ah, hell yeah. He can't hear us.
He can't hear anything.
No, he's got nothing.
Wow. Yeah,
his internet is out. We'll work on Chewy. We'll work on getting Chewy back, and hopefully he won't continue to lash out at people here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But I'll tell you what, maybe Chewy's just hungry. So he needs to stop by Bunzel's, 90th and Burleigh in Milwaukee. This week, you can pick up Burgundy Pepper Marinated Flatiron Steaks, $11.99 a pound. Fajita mixes. I am telling you, this is easy. Homemade fresh peppers, onion, cilantro, lime, and seasonings. Chicken is $7.99 a pound, or beef is $11.99 a pound. I'm going to have to make sure I get out there. I love doing this because it's the easiest thing. You throw it in your cast iron, you heat it up. You have a great meal from Bunzel's with those fajita mixes. You can get bacon-wrapped pork ribeye grillers, $6.89 a pound. Chorizo sausage, $5.99 a pound. Maybe I'll pick up some of that and get some make some breakfast burritos this weekend. I can't encourage you enough. Stop in at Bunzel's, 90th and Burleigh. You won't regret it. When you're here, stop by the deli counter. Maybe get yourself a sandwich. Take a little something home for yourself as well. Find all the weekly specials, Bunzel's.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj, who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of right tackle.
I have a question. Yes. I have a question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj?
Like, I was thinking, okay.
Who's Raj? You tell us, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I do have a question for Chew I want to get to, but first this comment from the Car Blues Talking text line. I'm sure you heard things like this, but just adding to the comments, he did not plan to go to the draft, this coming from Andrew, but his son, who is 12, really wanted to, so they went up early on day 3, and he could not agree more with all the comments. He expected terrible problems, could not have been more wrong. Took a shuttle, no traffic problems. Bathrooms really weren't that bad. Getting drinks were easy, bars were great, kids' activities were a blast. Customer service was great, and his son got to high-five Sorrell. The experience of a lifetime for him. He was incredibly impressed.
That's awesome.
Sounds like they should bring it back quickly.
Well, again, I don't know if you want to do it quickly, because if you
also you're gonna have a hard time. Some of these other franchises are gonna be like, "Well, Green Bay can do it. Why can't we?"
Yeah, but who wants to go to L.A.?
A lot
of
people.
The Raiders or the Chargers? Really?
Yeah.
It's kind of a popular area for people to live.
I would bet there would be more travelers from outside of the LA. Like, that would be mostly people traveling because, like, LA football fans don't really exist.
No. Exactly. You want to go to storied franchise, and there's only so many of them.
Yeah, but they got brand new stadiums. NFL. They've got, like,
It's all about attendance.
Yeah, right? you think Los Angeles would have a hard time getting 750,000 people there?
I don't know. How many Rams? There's 7,500 Rams fans as it is. You know?
I imagine the greater LA area has a lot of football fans.
You think so? Then why did it take so long to get a team there? Fair point.
I can't say fair point to your own point.
He's giving himself points. Mark went down for Chewy there. Chewy one, Josh zero. By the way, next year, Pittsburgh is holding the draft. That is the only future
franchise
location that has been announced. All right, so SVP, among all the other things he does, has a podcast called SV Pod that he does with his buddy Stanford Steve, who hangs out with the College Game Day crew and Jen during the college football season. But, you know, he travels a lot, and they were talking about hotel rooms and how hotel rooms cannot be cold enough. Chewy, you're somebody who travels a little bit more than me. Occasionally, you know, I'll find myself outside of my own home doing a little bit of, you know, actual traveling. How are you with the AC? Are you somebody that is just making it as cold as possible in the room? Or, because of now your soft, thin blood that you've gotten down there in Florida, are you not, you know, making the room as cold as possible?
No, it's always a battle because my wife wants it at 73, 74. Myself, ideally, would be 68. So she doesn't like meeting halfway. So she'll go to 72. But when she leaves the room or something, or, you know, I'm dragging my feet getting out of the room, I bump it down to 70. which he figured. And then it's just a tug of war. But the problem is when you go into these older hotels, you know they have the thing next to the window?
Yeah.
And it kicks on like throughout the night. Those you can't go too cold. You got to find that happy medium where it's not kicked because that'll keep you up all night long. So I usually lose. It's not.
But 50, if it was just you, would you make it pretty cold? Would you make it colder 68. Than 68?
Depends on the blanket. Depends on the blanket.
You got a good thick blanket.
If it's
blanket.
A down, if it's a fluffy comforter, then you can go 65. But if it's that, you know, polyester, nasty patterned comforter.
That one's tough. That's the worst.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
It's scratchy. Yeah. Doesn't really provide much. I walk into a hotel room and I go as low as I can go immediately. Just straight down, get it as cold as possible, and then I'll adjust there because sometimes as low as it goes in a hotel,
too cold,
they can make you frigid. Other times it's like, yeah, this is fine. I want to be near shivering if I have body parts outside of the blankets. That's my perfect place because at that point
you want to be seeing your breath. Like you're just the only thing that's sticking out from the blankets is your face, and you
yes.
can see your breath.
Uh huh. Yes, exactly. Sometimes I'll even just make it so the only thing showing is my face. Cover the hat a little bit.
Yeah, but if it gets
like
too
throw
hot,
up a hoodie.
If it gets too hot under the blankets and it's freezing in the room, then you're in and out of the sheets all night long.
No, you can find a happy balance. You can. You
think so?
That's a lack of skill to me. That's just
lack of skill.
Yeah. What are you guys sleeping in? Underwear?
Shorts? Typically?
Yeah. I'm usually shorts. If it's a little cooler, I'll have like a light hoodie
or something. No t-shirt, though, right?
Like if I'm sleeping at my house, like last night, I had a hoodie and shorts.
You slept in a hoodie with the hood?
Yeah, with the hoodie.
In a hoodie.
Yeah. Well, because every once in a while, you pop the hoodie up. Throw the hoodie up. Yeah.
I've never heard of that in my life.
The only time I've ever slept in a hoodie is when our heat broke at our apartment and they wouldn't have anyone there until the morning. And that was desperation more than desire. I feel like I'd get twisted in my hoodie. I feel like I'm too much of a roller
You're
and a mover. Kinda, yeah.
Just kind of.
I don't like things on my face, especially my wife's fist.
Why is your wife punching you in the face?
Oh, she has.
What do you mean? My understanding, Chew, when you're sleeping, like, yeah, she'll punch you if you're snoring, but I didn't think she was punching you in the face.
Oh, she'll ring me. Yeah. When you wake up and you got a little scab, it ain't from shaving. Not from shaving. I'm a little concerned because she's getting to the point where she wants me to snore now.
Because she gets excited to get some of her frustrations out.
Well, she's not a big fan of her boss. So sometimes
I don't feel like we should be talking about this.
I'm sure he's not listening.
With the amount of spies you've talked about, who knows?
Did you dump that, Josh, or did you just let it go?
I just let it go. Okay. Hey, he's on his own there. I did try and take
I didn't
away
say my him. Boss. I said hers.
Yeah, but you're going to get her in trouble.
Yeah. She can handle it.
We are anti having to answer, kids having to answer for their parents, but wives
but
for the husbands.
Spouses, yes. Spouses
yeah, that's fair game. Come on.
That's just part of doing biz. That's called marriage.
You call your significant other Mussolini. What can be worse than that?
Well, but here's the problem, Chew, with that. She pretends to be up in arms about it.
She loves it.
I think she likes it.
Really?
She embraces it.
Twice at the draft, I heard people, as I was walking by, go, "Hey, how's Mussolini?" Just listeners, fans that were in attendance, and I had to say, "Great." Also, there's trying to be a meet and greet set up because her dad works at a golf course in the area. Yeah. They're big Jen, Gabe, and Chewy listeners, so shout out to them who are probably listening right now. They were overjoyed to know that his daughter was Mussolini. She's got a nickname.
What
she's
does
got
she
people
call you?
Wanting to meet her. What'd you say?
I said, "What's she call you?"
My name.
Yeah, that's so boring.
Yeah. Well, the person in the house who, when I said, "Is this not a democracy?" said, "No, it's a dictatorship." It's an earned nickname. I didn't.
You didn't arrive on it on your own. It was assisted.
There's a reason I ended up there. It wasn't just my own.
We'll check in, see what we put on the polls as we wrap up the show. Coming up. up next, it's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, ESPN Milwaukee listeners, Josh DiMaggio here from my new friends at Wanna Parlay. I downloaded the Wanna Parlay app on my phone, and it is so much fun. You can compete against me and all the other Jen, Gabe, and Chewy's listeners to see who can combine a few picks and build the best parlay. It's just $2 for a shot at taking home a huge cash prize. It's a blast and so simple to use. There are new basketball, hockey, baseball, and combat sports contests every single week. And the best part, it is only $2 to enter into a contest. Plus, they've always got free-to-play games as well. Here's what you should do. Download the Wanna Parlay app, click around, and if you decide to upload money to play and get into the action, use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match for up to $250. That's promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match. Let's play the world's richest parlay today. Code JGC. You must be 18 years or older to play. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense.
Why
this elite defense.
Kool-Aid?
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid. And we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Do want to let everybody know that there is still time, and now there is an extra week where you can donate to our friends at the Mac Fund. Just text GOLF, G-O-L-F, to 800-990-3776. A link will be sent right to your phone where you can donate and help myself, Greg Maxick, and Stephen Watson raise money for the Mac Fund. Chew, we were supposed to play tomorrow at the Bog, but the rain and bad weather have forced us to move that to next Thursday, May 8th. So it gives everybody a week more where they can try to donate.
What was my donation, Gabe?
I used 20 a birdie. Okay. So you can do that. And I'm going to be on KBN this afternoon having fun with those guys trying to raise money for the Mac Fund as well. So tune in for that as we try to raise money for the Mac Fund. Jen will be back tomorrow. We'll all be here tomorrow. Wildy and Tausch coming up next.